Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter number 74, the first three stanzas. O Lord, give ear, and when with my voice I cry aloud to thee, have mercy also, I entreat. Give answer unto me. 1, 2, and 3 of Psalter 74. Scripture reading for this morning hour can be found in the Gospel according to Luke, the 8th chapter, beginning with verse 41 to verse 56. Luke 8, verses 41 through 56. But first, we will read the holy law of God according to Exodus 20. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children, unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, and that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. And thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. And thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. Luke 8, verse 41. And behold, there came a man named Jairus, and he was a ruler of the synagogue. And he fell down at Jesus' feet and besought him that he would come into his house. For he had one only daughter, about 12 years of age, and she lay a-dying. But as he went, the people thronged him. And a woman, having an issue of blood 12 years, which had spent all her living upon physicians, neither could be healed of any, came behind him and touched the border of his garment, and immediately her issue of blood stanched. And Jesus said, "Who touched me?" When all denied, Peter and they that were with him said, "Master, the multitude throng thee and press thee, and sayest thou, who touched me?" And Jesus said, "Somebody hath touched me, for I perceive that virtue is gone out of me." And when the woman saw that she was not hid, she came trembling, and falling down before him, she declared unto him, before all the people, for what cause she had touched him, and how she was healed immediately. And he said unto her, "Daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace." While he yet spake, there cometh one from the ruler of the synagogue's house, saying to him, "Thy daughter is dead. trouble not the master. But when Jesus heard it, he answered him, saying, Fear not, believe only, and she shall be made whole. And when he came into the house, he suffered no man to go in save Peter and James and John, and the father and the mother of the maiden. And all wept and bewailed her. But he said, Weep not, she is not dead, but sleepeth. And they laughed him to scorn, knowing that she was dead. And he put them all out, and took her by the hand, and called, saying, Maid, arise. And her spirit came again, and she arose straightway, and he commanded to give her meat. And her parents were astonished, but he charged them that they should tell no man what was done. So far, the reading of God's holy word. Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. Almighty God, we have read in thy holy word in these precious moments when we may have come together in thy house of prayer, in thy holy presence, and when we may read together of thy great power. Two words, maid arise, and she came forth from the dead. O Lord, the God of heaven and of earth, then thou knowest also us and our dear children, and that we also lay a dying. Yea, we are dead. And that power that we may read of in these moments, that is, O Lord, that is the power that we need. That is the power that we do seek of thee. Then we acknowledge that we lie dead in sins and in trespasses with our children by nature, and that we have no desire, and we have no ability to take heed to thy command, to turn ye from your evil ways, for why would ye die? But our choice that is daily and hourly to go with this world, our choice is that of those who have chosen another way, that we have departed from our Maker and our Creator, in our deep fall, in our rebellion, and that is a state and a condition that is now lying upon us with our children, that we need to be delivered from, because we cannot deliver ourselves from it. Oh, that there may also be in our midst those who must experience their helplessness in this matter, when the desire may be born, and by the working of thy Holy Spirit, that they might experience day by day the helplessness and the wretchedness and the corruption, as so that it is so impossible to return again, that we cannot give ourselves one true desire, and that there is not a single spiritual act of which we are capable from our side, but thou art a spirit and wilt be worshipped in spirit and in truth. And therefore, from our side, it has become so hopeless, even as this little maid who was lying dead upon her bed, when she could not move a single limb, and then she could not pray a prayer, and she could not sigh a sigh. Oh, Lord, and her parents also, and they lay by her so helpless. But her father did come to thee. Lord, we beseech thee then that thou may look upon us each and every one. We are together in thy holy sight. Oh, we need this power. We need it to be applied to us and to our dear children. Oh, when thou wouldst but speak one word, shall we not also live? Shall we not also move? Shall we not also then have a being, a spiritual being, that will begin to hunger and to thirst after the true and the living God? Lord, would it not be so to thy honor and to thy glory? Would not the angels in heaven rejoice this day when thou wouldst look upon one sinner to bring him to a true repentance? Oh, will it not be to the comfort of the heart when the distress shall begin to arise in a moment in their life, and when in the perplexity of their heart they shall experience what it is on the one side to begin to mourn and on the other side to begin to rejoice? Lord, then when the temple was built, then there was a sorrowing and a crying, and there was on the other side a rejoicing. Then that people, they become such a riddle unto themselves, such a perplexity as they go over this world. Oh, maybe there are such in our midst in this morning hour. Lord, could thou make it so in the heart of each and every one? And when we are yet strangers of this way, that we may not remain a stranger of that way, but that thy Spirit may lead us into all thy truth, a truth that is so against us, and on the other side a truth that will be for us, when only thou wilt take it and bring it in our heart with power. Lord, the mystery that is so very, very great, and it is to be experienced in the life of thy dear church. Oh, remember them in all the needs and in all the cares. Oh, they come up. They come up to thy house even with a joy and a rejoicing by times. Oh, that thou may fulfill that which thou hast placed within their soul. They come up also by times so discouraged, that thou mayst stand on their right and on their left hand. Oh, they come up by times even so hard and so cold, so that they cannot see their way anymore. Oh, that thou may open it unto them then once again, and that thou mayst show to us, Lord, that thou still rememberest us, that thou hast not left us completely over to ourselves as a people, as a congregation, that thou mayst show to us that thou still hast a favor to show unto us and unto our dear children. Oh, that it may be to the joy and the rejoicing of our hearts when this one or that one may have to smite upon their breast and go out from this place a different man, a different woman. Oh, to say, O God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Lord, work thou when we cannot work, when with us it will be but a few words, when with us it can be but a stammering of a man. But it is thy holy word. Oh, thou canst bring it in one moment into the hardest and the most wretched heart. Oh, thou canst bring it in the hearts of the young people and of the children, when their desire is after this world. When the natural desires of the youth, they are seeking a life that is here below. Oh, thou canst give unto them in the days of their youth to remember their Creator. Oh, how everything shall fall away in a moment. How the things of God shall come in the first place.
Oh, how they shall begin to have a tender heart, and that they might not walk in the ways of sin. And when we have walked in such ways for many, many years, and when our heart that has become hardened in the ways of iniquity and vanity, O thou in one moment, with the sword of thy spirit, the sword of thy word, thou can prick the hardest heart, and that has become old under the preaching of thy holy word. Thy power, Lord, that is without bounds. Thy power that is limitless. Oh, then there is nothing for thee to help. And the power of the prince of darkness to hold us. Oh, that is not as thy power. It is more than we can break. But it is not more than what thou canst overcome. For thou hast come to bruise his head. And so thou hast also done it. Oh, we beseech thee then. Could it please thee to look upon us in the midst of us this day, that thou mayst show that power, that thou art the Almighty One. Do look upon all that are afflicted and sick, those that are not able to be with us this day, young or old. Wilt thou give health and strength once again, and wilt thou supply for all those that mourn, the aged and the widows and the widowers, and all that have needs and cares known unto thee in the midst of us. Lord, be on the right and on the left hand. And wilt thou give to experience that thou art the living God. And that also in these ways the heart may be drawn to thee. To seek thee also for the need of the soul. Look on all that are in distress in this world. Oh, that thy word may go forth with power, where it may be brought here and there over the world, that thou may take away the error and the hypocrisy, and that thou may give thy word to be brought in truth, that it may be powerful and quick to the breaking down of strongholds over the length and breadth of this whole world. Oh, give thy servants faithfulness, give them strength from above, and wilt thou feed thy church? Oh, could it please thee with the manna that cometh down from above? Oh, look upon us then in this morning hour. Oh, do help us. Help us to bring thy word with freedom and with liberty if it could please thee. But if not, Lord, oh, could it please thee yet to still bless the word and to still give that in the midst of us, and thy spirit may go forth with power. Do it, Lord. Oh, do it then for the sake of thy great and thy holy name, forgiving all of our many sins and washing us in that all-atoning blood which thou hast shed upon that cursed tree. We ask it of thee in Jesus' name. Amen.
While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter 210, stanzas 1, 4, and 5. To God will I direct my prayer, and he will make my needs his care. I trust him still, though in my grief no answer yet has brought relief. With hands stretched out through all the night, uncomforted, I sought for light. The last collection today is for the building fund, Psalter 210, 1, 4, and 5. Thank you. What a privilege, congregation, is it that we may possess the Word of God. Privilege that is withheld from so many persons in this world. There are so many things in God's Word which are so very practical for the needs of our daily life. Is it our practice also for you young people when in a special way you do make decisions in the days of your youth that are so very far-reaching concerning this life? Is it also your practice that you are seeking that guidance, the practical instruction that we may read in God's holy word? But what is now the reason that the word of God has been published? What is now the purpose that the Lord has revealed himself, that is, not in the first place, that it may be a guide to man for the things of this life, but it is in the first place for the need of his soul. What is that message that we read of in God's word? In the entire Word of God, then we read about how that man has left God. And we read how it is possible that man is received unto God again. There we have, in short, the message of the Bible. Is there a place also in our heart, young and old, is there a place for such a message? Is there a desire when we come up to the house of God and that we also may return unto him? You say, what is that way? How is it that a man may return unto God? The answer to that question is both subjective and objective. In an objective way, then the Lord Jesus, he has declared, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. However, subjectively, this also needs to be experienced. And we read that also in the Word of God. How it is that a man may come again unto God. And what does the Apostle Paul say? He says, by grace are ye saved, through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Thus, we have the entire Word of God devoted to this one subject. How can my soul be made right with God? From the beginning of the Bible unto the end of the Bible. And that is also what we wish to consider then in this morning out of the words of our text, which you can find in Luke 8, verses 41 and the first part of 42. Luke 8, verses 41 and the first part of 42. And behold, there came a man named Jairus, and he was a ruler of the synagogue, and he fell down at Jesus' feet and besought him that he would come into his house, for he had one only daughter, about 12 years of age, and she lay a dying. So far, the words of our text. The faith of the ruler of the synagogue. First, faith born. Second, faith tried. And third, faith not put to shame. The faith of the ruler of the synagogue. First, faith born. Second, faith tried. And third, faith not put to shame. Sickness, congregation, is the common lot of man after the fall. That is the consequence of sin. Also, our children know this. They understand this. And we all together know the doctrine. But it is, they are two different things, to know such a doctrine and to actually become sick. Thus, the one that is the notion of the mind, and the other, of course, that is the experience of a person. And when it never touches us, then it remains a notion. When it never touches us, then really we do not know what sickness means. And when it never touches us, and when it remains outside of our experience, then we are also never moved by that sickness. There is one important thing, a most important matter of true saving faith. And we see that here in this history. That Jairus, he needs to come at the foot of the Lord Jesus Christ. That is there a picture of that act of faith, that refuge-taking faith that is saving to the soul. But had Jairus never had any experience with this sickness, then all that he has known of the Lord Jesus Christ that had never brought him to the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ. And therefore we say that that knowledge of that sickness that is most necessary. For Jairus, of course, that is a carnal trouble, that is a temporal trouble. It is an outward thing. But for us, it is written in the Word of God for that one purpose, not to tell the story of Jairus, but it is written there for that purpose of showing men what is now the way back unto God. That is not the objective part. Speaking of the crucifixion of the mediator. But it is the subjective part. Thus it is the part of the experience and how that this is applied to the soul of a person. Thus we may ask, in the first place, did our lost state ever come closer to our heart than the knowledge of the doctrine that we have been taught from our youth? Because when it is still for us just a notion, when it is still for us just what is living, what is dwelling within our mind, then it is that which still does not move us. Then there is no activity of our soul. But how different that it becomes when it is a knowledge by experience. When this daughter of Jairus becomes sick, then Jairus does not go immediately to the Lord Jesus Christ. You say, how do we know that? Well, when Jairus came to the Lord Jesus, then we read that his daughter was dying. And that does not happen right away when we become sick. Then we are not immediately, as it were, dying. No. But then it takes time, and that disease that must progress. Thus, Jairus, he does not come immediately to the Lord Jesus. No, first, though there is some concern that is not so very, very great, because there are still so many things that they can do. It is a common lot, and there is so much care that can be given and so much nursing that can be given. There is rest that can be received. There are maybe medicines, and there are doctors, and there are all kinds of things. There are concerns, yes, but it is not immediately to go unto the Lord Jesus. Are there those who understand this? Because we say that is a picture. And when the Lord is beginning congregation, then it is not immediately to go to the Lord Jesus. And why not? Yes, there is concern, but there are still so many things that we can do. There is a way, it is the common lot of man fallen in Adam. And yes, that law that requires so much, and the Lord, he is angry, but, well, we will still make it right. And that desire is there in its fervency, that I may appease that anger that the Lord rightly has against me because of my sin. We will now do it better. But we say now that one important thing, that one thing that is so essential, that one thing that is so necessary, is that a man is coming to that blessed place where he may bow before the Lord Jesus Christ. Thus you understand, if Jairus will come to that place, then it has to get worse in that life of Jairus. Are there those who understand this? We speak not in a natural way, but in a spiritual way. That it has to become worse. Why? Because we do not go immediately unto the Lord Jesus Christ. We do not, as the world says, just accept Him when we are told to accept Him by others. We do not just receive Him. We do not just bow before Him. We do not just exercise faith in Him. That is the reality. With all the nursing, with all the care, with all the medicines, with all the doctors, the daughter of Jairus becomes worse. She does not improve. Are there people that understand and that also know this way of Jairus? That is a difficult way. When with all the efforts, there is no improvement. Thus, it is a way that goes against all the desire that the Lord has placed in my heart. She does not get better, but she gets worse. Forward and backward, they are opposite to one another. They are not just ways that go side by side to one another. Thus, it does not stand still in the life of God's children. Never stand still, as if they can stay in that same place and as if they are at least able to hold on to what they may have. Nobody gets worse. What can be more perplexing to a soul when they believe that everything that is going in exactly the wrong way it does not get better, but it gets worse. Thus you understand the urgency of the matter that is now increasing. Cannot but believe that Jairus knew of the Lord Jesus, that Jairus had heard of the miracles of the Lord Jesus. Maybe he has even ridiculed the Lord Jesus. There came the first moment that Jairus has considered the Lord Jesus in an entirely different way than he has ever considered him before. A first moment that he now considers Christ in relation to his dying daughter. What a wonder that Jairus has heard so much. Because now in this moment of his need, everything that Jairus has heard of Christ in his life, that takes on such a new meaning. Parents, and young people, it is so advantageous that we do fill the minds of our children with doctrine, to fill the minds of our children with the Word of God. Why? They may in this moment not feel any need. But when that day will come, when the Spirit of the Lord will work, then what a blessing for our children. When all those things that we have learned in our youth, they take on for us such a great and such a new meaning. Everything that comes back to Jairus, as it were, in a flash, and everything that he has now heard that is now in connection with his own need, with his own daughter. And we cannot but believe that there was a great struggle that now begins in the heart of this Jairus. In the first place, there is resistance. There is resistance within him. And why within him? Because he is a man of the fall. And in our fall, we have rejected God. In our fall, we have chosen for our own independence. And our resistance to bow before God, that is continuing as long as it is possible. Thus, there is on the one side an inner resistance. Then there is something from without. Who is he? He is the ruler of the synagogue. Thus, he has fellow Jews. He has fellow Pharisees and Sadducees, and they are not so sympathetic to the Lord Jesus Christ. There is nothing. There is nothing that Satan so opposes is than that a man should come to the exercise of that refuge-taking faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Within, to stir up our natural pride that we would never bow, and without a thousand circumstances, and that we would with our minds say that it is unprofitable and that it is unwise in the midst of this world. But when the Spirit of the Lord is working, then there is also another side. Another side, so that there is a struggle in the heart of this man. And what is the other side? The other side is the great need. There is a need. And that need is pulling him. And that need is drawing him. And that need will not let him go. Is that not what Esther experienced? In her quandary, whether she ought to go in unto the king. And behold, there came a man named Jairus, and he was a ruler of the synagogue, and he fell down at Jesus' feet. Thus, we say a struggle. And in that struggle, there came a moment that the need one out. That was his only daughter. And there came a moment that Jairus realizes, my daughter is dying. What is more dear to us than our life? And what is more dear to us than the life of our children? So strong is the opposition of a man that natural heart to bow before the Lord Jesus Christ. So strong is that opposition that it does not take place until death is staring him in the face. Read Psalm 107. And that is why the Lord, he has to make it an urgent matter in the life of his people, that he may bring that people in that blessed place that he desires, that he may give them to know the comfort of what that refuge-taking faith gives to them. It is by the importance of this matter, it is by the urgency of this matter that people, they cannot stay away any longer. Thus, all the opposition within and without that is overcome by the need. And behold, there came a man named Jairus, and he was a ruler of the synagogue, and he fell down at Jesus' feet. What must it have been to see this? No matter how high that a man stands in this world, how high he stands within himself, how high that he is standing in his positions that are given to him in this world, no matter how high that a man may be, God is able to bring a man to his knees. Do you have a hard heart? Can you not bring yourself to this place? Can you not give yourself that love to Jesus that God's children have? Is that for you impossible? It is not impossible for the Lord. Will you ask it from him? But then you must not expect that it will go in an easy way. We see that on our second thought, that faith is tried. And a woman having an issue of blood 12 years. We know the history, so we do not need to say that again. Great crowd of people. Woman in distress. And she comes and she touches and she will go away. The Lord Jesus stops. He asks, "Who touched me?" He has no answer. Disciples answer, so on. What does all this mean? What does all this mean now for Jairus? Well, that means that Jairus must wait. He must wait. And waiting, children, that is difficult, is it not? To wait, that is hard. Yes, that is hard, but especially in this case, it is very, very difficult. And why? Because in this case, time is of the essence. Because he has an only daughter, and his daughter is dying. Generally, the Lord is not in a hurry. With him, one day is as 1,000 years. And 1,000 years are as one day. It is not a strange thing if your soul is made to wait. Although this is a very difficult thing, you can be sure that Satan will use that waiting to disturb you. That he will even use that waiting as if it is evidence against you. But remember that no answer, that means that the Lord has also not rejected you. He has also not spoken that it is finished for you. And in that time of waiting, Jairus is exercised in that faith by which he has taken refuge unto the mediator. And he is actually strengthened in this exercise. He receives an encouragement that is paradoxically, it is mysteriously, by this same circumstance by which he has to wait. In his need, in the urgency of the matter, Jairus receives a testimony of the great power of the Lord Jesus Christ. When he has to wait, then the Lord brings him into circumstances in his providence. The Lord brings him into circumstances that this woman may speak. And when that woman is speaking, she may speak about being in the same circumstances as Jairus is, who has applied, as it were, unto Christ in his need. Or how Jairus could find himself in the case of this woman. When that woman came, we read, and she told him why that she had touched him. How she could find himself in the urgency of her case. How he could find himself in the impending death that was upon this woman. How he could find himself when she explained how that she has tremblingly come to take hold of that hem of his garment. But now that woman, she may go in her experience, she may go a little bit further than Jairus may go. This woman may tell something that Jairus still has not experienced, but she may tell something of which Jairus is still waiting and longing that he may experience. Is that not a comfort for him? Is that not a comfort for that waiting people? When the Lord will give by moments his children to speak, and when they may so find themselves in their case also, and when they may tell how that the Lord was so good unto them, and when the moment did come, and that all their waiting, and that all their hoping that was not put to shame, is that not then the prophet of the communion of the saints, although they would not call themselves saints. And while he yet spake, there cometh one from the ruler of the synagogue's house, saying unto him, Thy daughter is dead. Trouble not the master. Congregation, the Lord Jesus said to Simon, Peter, Simon, Simon, Satan has desired to have you that he may sift you as the wheat. But I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. There is a people upon this earth that are as no other people in the whole world, because as no other people, Satan does desire to sift the faith of that true church as the wheat. When the Lord came to our first parents, when he spoke unto Satan that promise that he would bruise his head, then we also read, Thou shalt bruise his heel. And the Lord knows for what that he has to give encouragement unto his people. The Lord knows why that he has brought this woman to tell what has taken place in her life, because the Lord knows who is coming with that message unto Jairus. Thy daughter is dead. Trouble not the master. Congregation, in one moment, that church of God, they can be thrown into a complete turmoil. Jairus now joins that church of God who says with Job, that thing that I greatly feared has come upon me. And for Jairus, there is no more reason to continue in that way that he has gone. For Jairus, there is no more reason that he should lay at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Thy daughter is dead. And then the enemy says, Trouble not the master. Trouble him not, because there is nothing more that he can do. Does he say that to you too? There is nothing more that he can do for you. It has gone too far. Stop praying. And reading. And coming to the house of God. And seeking. Because it is too late. Thy daughter is dead. Trouble not the master. In one moment, everything that a person has experienced in their whole life can be turned completely upside down. So that everything they thought was true is not true anymore. David says, As with a sword in my bones, my enemies reproach me. while they say daily unto me, where is thy God? What were then the hopes when they had gone out to that mediator? What were then the expectations? What were then the desires? They are all come to naught. Did I think that perhaps he would look upon me also, as he has looked upon others? Did I think this? It was presumption. But was not my case so clearly laid out by times in the house of God? I have deceived myself. Thy daughter is dead. Trouble not the master. It is evidence. See, you cannot argue with the facts. It's all wrong in your life. Here is the proof. Thy daughter is dead. Trouble not the master. The Lord makes a congregation a cut-off matter. Cut-off? That is not cut-off in the theory. That is cut-off in the practice. It is not just a notion. It is the truth. It is the reality of the experience of that soul. It is the trial of that faith. Who can stand such a trial? Who can stand it? Who can come through it? Is it not evident that the Lord, who gives faith, must also strengthen it? Is it not evident that he also has to uphold it? Let us sing. Psalter 114. Stanzas 6, 8, 9, and 10. With mighty voice, deep calls to deep. While raging storms thy judgments tell. The angry billows o'er me leap. The waves of sorrow near me swell. 6, 8, 9, and 10 of 114. Our last thought, faith not put to shame. While he yet spake, there cometh one from the ruler of the synagogue's house, saying to him, Thy daughter is dead. Trouble not the master. But when Jesus heard it, he answered him, saying, Fear not, believe only, and she shall be made whole. Did not Jairus already believe? What do you think, boys and girls? Did Jairus already believe? Oh, you say it had to be, because Jairus had never left his home if he did not believe. No, that grace of faith that was planted in his heart. Oh, that very first act of faith that is going out of the soul unto the Lord Jesus Christ, though it be so very, very small, that is already an act of believing. Thus the Lord Jesus does not speak here to one that is a stranger of the grace of faith. No, it has been planted in his heart. But what has happened to all of the activity of his faith that has been severely attacked? Then so much has come against it. It has been tried in the fire, and the activity of faith has greatly diminished. Why? Because he had so little knowledge of this mediator. Because he did not know just how mighty that this mediator is. And so that is also the case in the life of God's children concerning his love, concerning his mercy, concerning his faithfulness. There is a church that is not a stranger with Jairus of the firstlings of that faith, that refuge taking faith in all of its apparent weakness. But when the knowledge of self increases, so that it is no longer sickness here, but death, then they become discouraged. And why? Because of the smallness of the knowledge of that mediator. What does the Lord Jesus say to Jairus? You believe that I can heal your daughter when she is sick, but you do not believe that I can raise her from the dead. Sickness that is the consequence of sin. Death is just a further degree. Fear not. Believe only, and she shall be made whole. There are no limits, Jairus. No limits to my power. In this, faith is not able to exceed its bounds. Believe only, and she shall be made whole. Congregation, the Lord Jesus prayed to his Father, glorify thy name. And we read that the Lord answered him from heaven. He said, I have both glorified it, and I will glorify it again. And there is a church in whom that name of God and of his Son is glorified, so that they are no strangers to that true saving faith, but that name that is going to be glorified in them again. In what will they be instructed? They are going to be instructed further in the boundlessness of the power of God, of the love of God, of the mercy of God, of the faithfulness of God. What is that way in which the Lord will instruct them how boundless He is? Well, that is only by an increasing instruction in their own wretchedness. David, he may know the love of God before he fell. But he will be instructed in the boundlessness of that love after he fell. Peter may know the mercy of the Lord before he denied him. But the knowledge of the limitlessness of that mercy that is going to come through that fall of Peter, when he learns just how wretched that his heart is. The faithfulness of the Lord was experienced by the children of Israel. And the fulfillment of the promise of the Lord when he delivered them out of the land of Egypt. How will it be for the people when he brings them back from the land of Babylon? Thy daughter is dead. Trouble not the master. Is it so with you? Have you gone too far? Are the limits exceeded? Is it beyond hope of coming back? What does the Lord Jesus say? He says, no. He says, fear not. Believe only, and she shall be made whole. There are no bounds to my sufficiency. I am not only the water of life, I am the fountain of living waters. There are no bounds to my power. I am not only the physician, I am the resurrection and the life. There are no bounds to my mercy. That is why I can go and sit and eat with publicans and with sinners. But go ye and learn what that meaneth. I will have mercy and not sacrifice. There is no bound to my love. There are no bounds to my faithfulness, though we oft have sinned against him, yet his love and grace abide. Therefore, he says, come now, come now. Let us reason together, though your sins be as scarlet,
they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Fear not, believe only, and she shall be made whole. And when he came into the house, he suffered no man to go in, save Peter and James and John, and the father and the mother of the maiden. And all wept and bewailed her. But he said, weep not. She is not dead, but sleepeth. And they laughed him to scorn, knowing that she was dead. And he put them all out, and took her by the hand, and called, saying, maid, arise. And her spirit came again, and she arose straightway, and he commanded to give her meat. And her parents were astonished. But he charged them that they should tell no man what was done. They are astonished. What does that tell us? That tells us that that faith of Jairus was a trembling faith. That was not an assured faith. That was not a perfect faith. Or what was it? It was a faith that has taken refuge in a great need. And that faith was not put to shame, though it trembled in that great trial. It was a faith born from above. It was a faith carried from above, strengthened, and supported, and not ashamed. And so will be the case with all who are as Jairus. Oh, then, one day they will experience with Jairus a holy astonishment, an astonishment. In this world, by measure, and soon to be astonished in eternity. And that eternity that will not be long enough to adore him. Amen. O Lord of heaven and of earth, grant us to know for ourselves also this way, for it is a blessed way, though a way in which our flesh will rebel. So many mysteries, so many sorrows, so many paradoxes, but also that hope and that expectation, though dashed to pieces so often upon the rocks, yet thou wilt uphold it unto the end. O strengthen those who find themselves in such a case. Oh, may it be for them an encouragement in this morning hour, and that thou may lead us all together to know our great wretchedness. Oh, bring us then experimentally to know thy truth and that true saving faith. Dismiss us with thy blessing and bring us and with desire to gather in this afternoon hour again, forgive our many sins for Jesus' sake. Amen. 426 stanzas 2 and 3. The cords of death held me in deep despair. The pangs of hell, like waves by tempest driven, rolled o'er my soul by grief and sorrow riven. I turned in my distress to God in prayer. 2 and 3 of 426.
Receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessing.